This is Pastor Emery. God told Father Abraham in Genesis 12 in verses 2 and 3, "Thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Christians are told in the New Testament in Galatians 3 and verse 9, "So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Has Christendom lost sight of its roots in the Old Testament? Almost all radio ministers today make frequent mention of God's promises to Abraham in Genesis 12. However, almost without exception, they apply those promises to the people who call themselves Jews and who are now trying to establish a nation in ancient Palestine. And yet, as we have seen in the last several broadcasts, the New Testament writers address themselves to those who believe in Jesus Christ and applied the Abrahamic covenant and promises to those Christian believers. So for this and the next two broadcasts, I am going to read some of the covenants and promises that God made to Abraham, and we'll see not only what they were, but we'll be able to see in what people those covenants and promises have been kept. My contention is that they have been kept in and among the people in the nations we call collectively Christendom, and that they have been and could be fulfilled only in the people to whom Jesus Christ came. In fact, I am going to call this series of three broadcasts the Old Testament Christians. After all, Jesus was the messenger of the covenant. He said he came to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. And Paul writes in Romans 15 and verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." As we saw in the series, the New Testament and Israel, it was the Israelites who then began to be called Christians after Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 29 we read, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." I am going to start out in this series on the Old Testament Christians by proving that the great men of the Old Testament were exactly that, Christians. The title of this series of three broadcasts will be The Old Testament and Christians. We'll be reading about the covenants, the prophecies, and their fulfillment later. First, I want to prove that the great men whom God blessed and used in the Old Testament were Christians. We so often hear them called Jews that we tend to believe that. But let's find out what the Bible actually says, and I'll have to use, of course, the New Testament to find out what a Christian is, then compare that to some well-known characters in the Old Testament. Would you say a Christian is one who has found grace in the sight of God? John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." After Pentecost, in Acts 4, verse 33, I read of the believers in Christ, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Similar phrases with the word grace are used several times in the book of Acts. Romans 1, Paul writes of Jesus Christ, verse 5, "by whom we have received grace." Scores of times in the New Testament, believers in Christ are identified as those who have received the grace of God. Turn to Genesis 6, the story of Noah and the flood. In verse 8, we read this of Noah, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Being a Christian is often called a walk with God. For instance, in Revelation 3 and verse 4, the believers in Christ are promised they will walk with God. We even sing songs with the phrase, "Just a closer walk with thee." Genesis 6 verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Two of the marks of a Christian, the grace of God and walking with God. Christians are promised protection, even a saving out of great tribulation. In Genesis 6, verse 13, God told Noah he was going to bring destruction, and in verse 14, he said to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood," and then God told him how to make it so God would save Noah. In the New Testament, Christian believers are promised that God will save their household or family. At Pentecost, Peter told the men who asked him, "What must we do to be saved?" In verse 38 and 39 of Acts 1, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children." The same question was asked by the jailer of Paul and Silas in Acts 16, verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The next verses tell us his entire family believed and was baptized. After God gave instruction to Noah to build the ark, we read this in verse 18 of Genesis 6, that God said to Noah, "With thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." God saved Noah's whole family. In the New Testament, we are told that Christians are to be and will be obedient unto God. In John 15 and verse 10, Jesus said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." John told how we would know who were Christians, 1 John 2, verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Even in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12 and verse 17, we find the remnant of the seed of the woman, who of course are God's people, as those, quote, "which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Of all the people of the world, in the New Testament, the only ones who are commanded to or credited with obeying God's commandments are the believers in Christ Jesus, Christians. Genesis 6 and verse 22, what do we read of Noah? "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Noah was obedient to God, the mark of a Christian. In the New Testament, Christians are identified as those who are righteous before God, not because they never sin, but because God sees them as righteous. In other words, they are righteous in God's sight. In Romans 4, 5 of the believer, it is said, quote, "His faith is counted for righteousness." This is said 100 times in the New Testament, and it is said only of Christians. Genesis 7, 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Christians are the blessed of God. There is no indication in the New Testament that God Almighty would bless the heathen or the people who would deny Jesus Christ. Take a look at the communist or antichrist nations. You will find nothing in them that could be called a blessing from God. Genesis 9, after the flood, in verse 1 we read, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." How many marks as a Christian does that give Noah? Let's see. Number 1, grace in God's eyes. Number 2, walking with God. Number 3, a promise of personal protection. Number 4, a promise for his family. 5, he was obedient to God's word. 6, righteousness was imputed to him. And 7, he was blessed by God. 7 marks of a Christian on Noah. But my fundamentalist friends will say, "Oh, but did he know Jesus? How could Noah be a Christian if he had not confessed Jesus Christ and come down to the altar and let Christ come into his heart?" Well, Who said one had to go through the altar ritual in a church to become a Christian? I don't find it in the Bible, although I hear it on 1,000 radio stations and in tens of thousands of churches. To hear some of them, you would believe that every person who lived before Jesus Christ and 99% of the people who lived after him are all bound for hell and torture, and only those few in their church will be saved. Not so, my friend, not so. As to Noah, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You even hear your New Testament preachers read this. They call it the faith chapter, and perhaps do not even realize its real implications. Verse 7, Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did Noah become when he believed God and obeyed him? An heir of righteousness which is by faith. By any test of the Scripture, those words tell me Noah was a Christian. And that verse I just read is in the New Testament. How dare ministers not teach their flocks that Noah was a Christian? The last verse of Hebrews 11 says quite plainly that with us, they, meaning Noah and the others listed there, will be made perfect. That phrase, be made perfect, is used in reference to the resurrection of the just to everlasting life in Christ's kingdom. Noah will be there, according to the plain statement of Hebrews 11, verse 7 and verse 40. Of course, he was a Christian. How about Abraham? Will Abraham be in the resurrection of the just? Most Christian ministers insist that only believers in Christ, whom they correctly call Christians, will be in that resurrection. Does that exclude Abraham, or does Abraham meet the test of Christian faith? Let's take a look. Some claim Abraham was the first Jew, but the truth is Abraham wasn't even an Israelite. His great-grandchildren were the first Israelites, and neither they nor Abraham were ever called Jews in the Bible, though several hundred thousand ministers in Christendom have been taught like parrots to speak of Abraham as a Jew. The modern meaning of the word Jew is anyone who believes in the religion of Judaism. Well, Abraham fits every tenet of the Christian religion that Noah did. He found grace in God's eyes. He not only walked in obedience to God, he physically walked with God on one or more occasions, depending on whether you believe one of the messengers to Sodom was God or not. Abraham's household was saved and blessed. Yes, both Isaac and Ishmael received blessings and covenants with God, and I'll be reading some of them next week in our continuing study of the Old Testament and Christians. I won't take the time right now. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham, as it is to Christians. Genesis 15:6, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Then in Romans 4, Paul twice states that of Abraham as an example to Christians. Would God have the New Testament writers hold up before Christians a non-Christian and tell them to follow his example? Nonsense. Abraham was also obedient. God speaks of Abraham's obedience in Genesis 22. He repeats his promise of multiplying Abraham's seed as the stars of the heaven and of the sands which is upon the seashore, and then ends that promise in verse 18, quote, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In Genesis 18, God says of Abraham in verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, the way of the Lord has to be the true religion. Today we call it the Christian religion. It was the same religion or faith then although it was not called by the same name. In Matthew 3 and verse 3, we read of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." That phrase is repeated at the beginning of every one of the four Gospels. In fact, after Jesus' death, the faith or religion of Christianity was called by the term the Way for some years in the New Testament before it was finally changed to Christian. You read that in Acts 9 and verse 2. In Acts 18, verse 24 through 28, it tells of a man who preached, quote, "the way of the Lord." Then we find Aquila and Priscilla telling him of Jesus, which is called in verse 26, "the way of God more perfectly," after which the man preached Jesus, still calling it the way of the Lord. Acts 19:9, it is called that way. Acts 22:4, it is called this way. In Acts 24, where Paul defended his preaching of Jesus Christ, he said in verse 14, quote, "after the way which they," meaning the Jewish Pharisees, "which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." Then verse 24 states specifically that that way was, quote, "the faith in Christ." In each case, the word way comes from the Greek word hodos, meaning a highway or a journey, a way of getting from one place to another. In the epistles, faith in Jesus Christ is called the way of holiness, the way of truth, the right way, the way of righteousness, the new and living way. All of the followers of Christ consider themselves to be following the religion of their Israel fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After all, it prophesied a Messiah, a Savior to come. That Savior had now come. It did not change the religion. It just added a fulfilled prophecy to it. It was the same religion, the same faith spoken of in the Old Testament. It is only in recent centuries, particularly in the last 100 years, that false prophets have tried to convince the Christians that somehow or other our religion is different than the religion of Noah and of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. No, it is not. It is the same religion with a new name, the name of the Messiah which was to come and who has now come. As our study before on the New Testament and Israel showed, it was the Israelites who were to be and who did become the Christians. So we can now show from the Old Testament and Christianity that it was the same Israelitish religion which became Christianity. The same people, the same faith. Would you now say Abraham was a Christian? If you still hedge on that, turn to Hebrews 11. You'll find Abraham listed there as another of the faith. That Abraham, and by implication the others listed with him, such as Noah, quote, "desire a better country, that is in heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." What was it they desired and looked forward to? The city of God, the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of God upon the earth. That is the same thing the Christian faith teaches us to look forward to, is it not? No other religion professes to believe in such a kingdom of God upon the earth, only the Christian religion, of which Abraham was a part. In verse 19, we even find that Abraham believed God could raise up Isaac from the dead. So he believed in God's power to resurrect the dead. No other religion but that of Christianity believes in such a resurrection from the dead. Oh, I know many teach reincarnation, but that is not resurrection from the dead. They actually teach that men never die in the first place. They just go on living in some other form. Only the Christian religion teaches that the wages of sin is death or cessation of life, and our only hope then is in the resurrection. The Christian religion teaches it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every religion but the Christian religion keeps man alive, in their doctrine at least, and thereby deny one of the fundamental tenets of the Christian faith, that men die and depend upon God for resurrection to eternal life. By every measure by which you wish to measure, the religion of Abraham can be only that of the Christian religion. By the way, and this may come as some surprise to many Christians, the religion of Judaism teaches reincarnation. This was expounded in some detail in a Jewish newspaper, which was sent to me recently, the Jewish Press, by Rabbi Sheinberg in the issue of August 2, 1974. You will probably be able to verify the teaching of reincarnation through some of your Jewish friends or by asking a Jewish rabbi. It is not a secret. It is perhaps not well known only because the Jews are not evangelistic and make no effort to secure conversions to their religion as we Christians do. The God which Abraham believed in and the God of the Christians' Bible teaches no such thing as reincarnation. So Abraham could not have been a follower of the religion of Judaism, but instead a follower of the religion of the true faith, the Christian Bible. Abraham was a Christian. Abraham's son Isaac followed in Abraham's footsteps as far as his faith or religion was concerned. He was blessed by and believed in the same God and in the same promises. And by the way, he is listed in the New Testament in Hebrews 11 as a man of the same faith. Jacob, Isaac's son, then received of his father and of God the promises God had made to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. My time is gone for today. This is Pastor Emery. Next week, God willing, we will follow on in the Old Testament about Jacob. Then we'll consider Moses and the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. Again, I will prove they were Christians. In fact, we'll find that the Israelites were even baptized. You Baptists who believe you were the first baptized Christians, you should listen. You might learn something you didn't know before. And then we'll go on in our study of the Old Testament and Christians. Meanwhile, write for the free November packet. I'll include a number of items, our radio log, our literature list, a catalog of Bible study cassette tapes, and my booklet, Cinderella, A Bible Story. You've probably guessed that the prince in the story is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, but it may be harder to place the rest of the cast of characters. Cinderella, the wicked stepmother, the stepsisters, the fairy godmother, the pumpkin and the coach, the grand ball, the reason for the hour of midnight, the glass slipper, the men who then searched for the girl who lost it, and on. It has always been a fascinating tale. Almost every person in Christendom has heard it many times, but very few seem to have recognized it as the story of the Bible told in an allegory. Well, my book will explain it to you, and then it should be more fascinating than ever, Cinderella, A Bible Story. The announcer will give my address in just a moment where you can write for that free November packet. After he gives my address, the station announcer will give the station's call letters, and I would appreciate it if in your letter you would tell me the station over which you hear America's Promise. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.